All right, guys, here's the deal. Okay, we got a lot to accomplish tonight. And you may ask, what are our goals? We have four goals tonight because everything's about four. Let's get relaxed, have a little drink. Okay, so we have four goals because four questions, four everything tonight. Number one, the goal tonight within our 2 hours, so if you had to lead your own Seder, you could. Goal number one, which is a good skill to have, whether you're going to use it in a week or you can use it in a year from now, or God willing, you'll have your own house, you'll be able to co-lead. So that's goal number one. Goal number two, to empower you to add content to the Seder you're invited to. Okay, oftentimes you're at family, you're at friends, and you know, the Seder is okay. So instead of just being a passive participant, you're going to be an active, empowering, embracing personality. Third, if you get invited to like a very traditional Orthodox Seder where they're not going to be giving you color commentary, they're just going to press go and they're going to fly. So they're not going to stop and explain things. Now, I recommend purchasing, going to any of the fine bookstores or Amazon and get yourself a nice explanatory Haggadah. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has a fantastic Haggadah. There are many great Haggadahs out there. Just for you to, which gives you explanation. So, and I would advise, read the Haggadah before Pesach. Don't like to, oh, Pesach. Read page one. Okay? So you want to be able to get all that. And number four, I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Seder Safe Zone, which means that you can ask me any question. Even if you would feel, in any environment, feel embarrassed to ask that question, there is no question which is too embarrassing to ask. You're among friends, and I'll do my best to answer every question I can. And if I can't, I'll look it up. You know that. Okay. Okay? So that's our goal. And in addition to enjoying fine food, good food, which is warmed up, we'll take a break for food. Everybody's good with that? Fine wine. This is French wine for the Bordeaux region, a courtesy of the Messers. We thank them. This is retails about $80, but I'm not mentioning that. And most importantly, you get to spend this is a rare circumstance for a Seder. You get to spend a Seder with the people that you fully enjoy. Because oftentimes, because there's a very important principle of life, you get to choose your friends, you do not get to choose your family. Okay? And Pesach really brings that to bear. More about that later. Okay. So, first question, I always like to start with the end in mind, courtesy of our good friend Stephen Covey. What is the goal of the Seder?
To read, tell the story so you feel like you have gone before
the trip. Excellent. But how does that fit into a meal? There's a meal.
Because everything in the meal represents a part of the journey.
Okay, so it's instrumental for the storytelling. Excellent. But actually, there is going to be, ultimately, there will be food served at some point in the Seder. That's called the Shulchan Aruch side, okay? So the goal is to have a celebratory meal of gratitude, what it is, like a Thanksgiving, where the core values of Judaism are expressed via telling the story to everybody present, and particularly the next generation, the children, and together with all the mitzvot of the night, which was the matzah, the maror, together with the song of the story, okay, and the Hallel. All right, so that's the goal of the Seder. I asked you question number two. What is the measurement of a successful Seder? How do you know you've had a successful Seder?
Drunk.
You got
through the whole thing.
You made it. In other words, you soldier through, you got to the, and you got to the last stage?
You feel like you did the journey yourself?
Okay, that was what Stephanie said. In other words, that you view yourself as if you left Egypt. Now, not literally because the Jewish people left Egypt in a certain sense, 3,300 years ago, but that you feel that yourself as being the direct beneficiary of that redemption. You feel that you're a redeemed person. And the measurement of metric, and here's the key thing, the goal of the Seder is more, it's one part mind and one part heart. And the culmination is the heart. And I'll explain that. In other words, the measurement of a successful Seder is that when you say the last section, which is the Hallel and the Nirtzah, the praise and the praise part of the thing, that do you personally feel that you are proud to be a Jew? Do you personally feel that you are a beneficiary of this legacy? Do you personally feel happy that you are part of this chain of tradition? Do you feel in a robust way that after discussing all the element parts, that you can communicate your feelings, not that you can feel, or you feel internally a gratitude to God? That is a measurement. If your person reads the hollow in a perfunctory, let's get through it, and let's call it a night, not so much. But if you, at the end of the night, you feel, if it's a celebratory meal of gratitude, and you feel gratitude, as expressed verbally through the Hallel, and more importantly, not just what you say, but what you feel, then you've had a successful Seder. Okay? Is everybody clear about this? So we have a clear goal, and we have a metric of how you know that goal. So the Seder, and then the next question, I want to share an idea, because we cannot have any event at MG without bringing in Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. Okay. I have my hand here, what?
Haggadah.
The mitzvah, as Stephanie mentioned, is called of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the telling of the story of Egypt. What's the difference between Sipur and the Haggadah? Now, what does the word Haggadah mean? What is the Hebrew word Lahagid?
To tell.
So are they the same or are they different?
Maybe naming the whole thing after it's pointing to the importance of telling.
Okay, good. So there's two kinds of telling. There in the Haggadah, this is good. By the way, this is a little nugget you can ask everybody your Seder. This is like, you know, people who got the 13 seconds of attention span. This is perfect for them, designed for them. Haggadah means to tell in a succinct, digest form. The core elements. For example, in the Mishnah talks about Haggadat Eidut, the telling over of testimony. If you are a witness and you come to a Jewish court, you're supposed to tell over the key elements of what are there. The Haggadah is basically a default setting, Reader's Digest frame of the story, the beginning, the middle, the end. Sipur is nearly boundless. Because the goal of Sipur, as we're going to get into, is not about just telling the mechanics where we were slaves, but rather its ideas, its implications, its contemporary message. In a certain sense, the Sipur is going to be different for each person based upon their knowledge, their intellect, their experience, and articulate in their own voice. So the Sipur, in a certain sense, is really infinite. Haggadah, finite. There's only 180 pages, okay? Haggadah is very finite. It's a digest. It's a frame. The Sipur is a boundless telling. Okay? If I want to, since I'm a musician, I will share a musical metaphor. The Haggadah is like the vocalist singing the lyrics, the chorus, and the stanzas of the song. The Sipur is the lead, is the jazz musician who, on his own, riffs off, goes on a different direction based upon the song, but a completely different thing. Like a good guitar lead is not playing what the vocalist just sang, but going into a different direction. Okay? It's an embracing and a going beyond. So Haggadah is the most concise, default setting. In other words, the Chachamim, the rabbis, when they made the Haggadah, going back in the Second Temple times, gave sort of a, if you read this, you're, quote-unquote, Yotze, chick-dink. But it allows everybody, based upon their experience, their knowledge, and their intellect, to share beyond it, to understand that, to personalize it, to explain, to go deeper, both horizontally longer and vertically, both in depths and breadths. Okay? Is that clear? We have Sipur, we got Haggadah. Excellent. Now, we go on. So tonight, you got to be a storyteller. So what are some of the things that a person does as a storyteller?
Wait, Sipur vertical?
Sipur allows you to go to go in every direction. The Haggadah is just like the template. It's sort of like, this is like the most reduced, concise version. If you read this, you're quote-unquote, you're Yotze. Did you tell the story? You told the story. In the most minimalistic, compact way. And there's, by the way, I'm going to mention some things that we can even, if you're not feeling well, or you can't do it, or your family's not open, we'll tell you where you can cut. We can make the Haggadah even a little smaller. Okay, so you make even more make a digest of a digest. Okay, but the idea is to really go, is to engage in dialogue. It's a night of discussion.
Okay. Anywhere specifically, or equally spread out across the whole Haggadah?
We'll get to that.
In your house, do you concentrate more towards the beginning?
So, like nobody's Seder is homogeneous. I have all ages. I have a daughter who is 11. I have, going out to my oldest son is 25. I will have MJ ears there. I will have all kinds of people, so I have to try to engage everybody a different kind of way. So the key thing, this is a good strategy. If you're a storyteller and you want to engage people, simple, this is actually a good principle in life. Watch the eyes. If you're not getting the eye contact, you end. And we're done. Because they're done, so why are you talking? Okay, so one element, are I clear? Okay, well, let's go on. So the key thing is this. There are two kinds of stories. There is an inspirational story, and then there's an entertaining story. What's the difference?
I feel like an inspirational story, its goal is to have a really empowering message, and an entertaining story, its goal is to really keep a person or people amused and just having a good time.
That's exactly correct. Well said, Gail. Thank you very much. So an inspiring story is to have the person come to even a therapeutic awareness of a certain concept or feeling or idea. Entertainment is just being distracted through entertainment, just to let the time go on, get lost in the moment, but it doesn't have any lasting and significant elements beyond that. So that's the deal. Simple question. Is the Seder a entertaining story or a inspirational story?
Both.
Or both. Yeah. So the reality, the goal is really to have an inspirational story, but if you're not going to have the kind of Torah that I do, my branded name, I don't do Torah, I do Torahtainment. I do Torahtainment. I think if you notice, I'm
you need to get that.
Torahtainment. I'm about the Torahtainment because... Because if you don't got the attainment, because here's the deal, if you don't got the attainment, nobody gonna pay attention to the Torah. So I always add the attainment to the Torah and make a little marriage over there. I do the same thing wherever I am. I just adjust to the crowd. But that's basically it. Correct answer is both. Okay. Now, one of the major motifs, the motifs of the Seder, of the Sipur. I'm just giving sort of this is our warm up. This is our opening warm up. Is basically the word is. The bondage of Egypt, the shibud, the oppression of Egypt, of the slavery, and geula, redemption. Slavery, redemption. Clear? Everybody knew that beforehand. Okay. Now, the problem here, the challenge that as the Seder leader or the Seder active participant is that this could easily, if you just read the Haggadah, even if you read English, it becomes basically, I'm reading mythology. There were these people living in a faraway land that were slaves to a meanie. And then God came down and kicked them in the tuchus 10 times, and they all got out. Okay? So it seems like a very mythological tale. So one way to bring that into reality is to try to show contemporary comparison. So I'm going to show you a little video, because I always like to do the video, and which I think in a significant way brings the idea of shibud, oppression, political oppression, slavery, and redemption. Okay, we're good with that? Let's go to the video. Here we go.
This is a love story that brought down the Soviet Empire and freed millions of Jews. Natan Sharansky, human rights activist, Zionist, and refusenik, fighting for his right to be a free Jew.
I was haunted, I was arrested sometimes, persecuted in different forms.
He also fought for the love of his life, Avital.
חופש היה בעיניו ולאומץ לב כזה לעמוד מול שם בחצי בצד השני של הרחוב עמדו אנשי קגב.
But on the eve of their wedding, they were cruelly separated by the Soviet regime.
של הוויזות. אומרים, אם את לא עוזבת, לעולם לא תצאי, לא את ולא חתולך. אני מחליטה פה בשבילי שאני לא אצא מרוסיה עד שאני אראה את מטה, עד שאנחנו נתחתן.
היינו בטוחים שזה ייקח כמה חודשים עד שנהיה ביחד. זה לקח 12 שנה.
A short while later, in a trumped-up trial, Sharansky is accused of being a traitor to the Soviet regime and sentenced to 13 years of hard labor. Sharansky's last words to the court.
בסוף אמרתי שכמו שיהודים במשך אלפים שנה ואומרים אחד לשני לשנה רבה בירושלים, ככה אני אומר עכשיו לאביטל, לישראל ולעם שלנו לשנה רבה בירושלים, ולמשפט אין לי מה להגיד.
For 9 years, Sharansky sits alone in the punishment cell in Siberia, while Avital runs a worldwide campaign to free him.
אביטל הגיע כולה ניסרת ורקשת, היא אמרה,
She garners the support of world Jewry and international leaders, including U.S. President Ronald Reagan. On February 11, 1986, the world holds its breath as Natan Sharansky walks to freedom.
I think of the sight of Natan Sharansky, still in the dominion of his KGB captors, zigzagging his way across the tarmac after they ordered him to walk a straight line.
On that same historic day, Sharansky arrives in the land of Israel to the joy of his mother and wife, to thousands of rejoicing Israelis and Jews around the world.
Anatoly Sharansky has fought heroically, alone, under tremendous pressure, as a proud Jew, as a freedom lover of thousands, as a man with a mission, as a devoted Zionist, and show that you can arrest a body, you cannot put in prison a spirit. Faith prevails.
After his release, Sharansky continues his struggle for the freedom of Soviet Jewry. Natan Sharansky, the hero who inspired a generation, ministered in 4 consecutive Israeli governments, the only foreign recipient of both the Congressional Medal of Honor and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, never loses sight of his mission.
I want to tell to all the Jews of the world that we together, Jews of all the world, are very strong.
Today, 25 years after his liberation, as chairman of the Jewish Agency for Israel, Sharansky carries his message forcefully and with the same passion to the Jewish people.
I want every Jew in the world to feel as I felt. If you want to fight for the better future, you must first of all to be proud Jew, connected to your people, and while we have big external challenges, Jewish agency concentrates on no less important challenge, for strengthening Jewish identity, for strengthening connection of every Jew in the world with their heritage, with their community, with the state of Israel, and as a result, to inspire and to empower Jewish people in their struggle for our family and for our state.
All right, we can turn off the air conditioning. Actually, of course, this guy getting just slightly comfortable. Okay, but that's the way. All right, so let's continue here. All right, now, let's get to the key term. What is the definition of shibud, of oppression? There's actually two levels of shibud. And this is important. This is another Haggadah nugget. Shibud, oppression, of course, you have the... Let's use Natan Sharansky. So he was put into the gulag for 13 years in a Siberian prison. So he was physically constricted under harsh Russian prison conditions. That's a political, physical oppression. And what they tried to do, but were unsuccessful, is to shut him down spiritually. They wanted to squash his spirit. They wanted him to give up. They wanted to give in. And he did not. And he actually taught himself Hebrew. He did unbelievable things. I mean, you should read his book. The five-minute little biopic does not do it justice, obviously. But he maintained that his Jewish identity would not be crushed by the Soviet authorities. And his wife led this international campaign, part of the freeing Soviet Jews, and they were successful. And that's Geula. Geula is redemption. Is not simply being let free of the prison, of whether it be of Egypt or of the Gulag or of the concentration camp, whatever oppression, political oppression that we as Jews have been over the last millennia. Rather, Geula means that I, as a person, am able to express my full extent of my being. I'm being fully, the ability to be actualized. When the Jews walked out of the Alcatraz of Egypt, it wasn't simply they were now under the beyond the grasp of Paro, Pharaoh, but the capacity to grow as a spiritual being became boundless, limitless. And that really is part of the celebration of the Seder. Okay? So we have oppression, shibud, geula. Geula is not just the physical liberation, that's more of a Yeshua, Hatzalah, saving, but a allowing of the freedom of the spirit to go forth and become fully free, boundless being, actualized, capacity to feel or achieve its goal, its capacity, its potential. Okay? So that's part of the celebration. And the Torah is an instrumentality to allow that flowering of a person to emerge. And that's part of the celebration of the Thanksgiving meal, which is the Seder. Okay, is that clear? Okay. A couple of nuggets.
Did it say that he was refusing it?
Yes. In other words, refusing means he tried to immigrate to Israel, and the Soviets said, you can't go. And now you can't go, but we're going to create a charge that you are doing this alleged crime against the Soviet Union, and we're going to put you into jail for 13 years. Okay, those are refuse next. Okay, now I'm just giving you sort of the broader motifs. I want to get now. We're gonna lurch between broad motifs and practical nitty gritties. Okay, so literally what I'm gonna do now, I want everybody to open up their Haggadah. We're gonna start off with a song. Everybody knows it. If you don't know it, you'll sing along. I will post this recording. So if you want to learn it, here we go. Turn to page 19. Here we go. Kadesh Urchas Karpat Yachat Magir Achza Motzi Matza Maror Korek Shofan Ores Tafus Oreh. Okay, good. So we begin. In many Ashkenazi communities, the person leading the Seder will dress into a kittel.
Hopefully it's still fits.
The kittel's good. Kittel's good. What is a kittel?
Burial ground.
It's a burial shroud. So why are you wearing a burial shroud for on the Seder night? Why are you wearing a burial shroud on your Seder night? When else does a person wear... When do you typically Ashkenazic men wear kittels?
Wedding and Yom Kippur.
Okay, so what is that... And, you know, wedding, Yom Kippur, and the day that you die. And the Seder. What's the common denominator?
Renewal, changes.
Now, so basically, one reason given for the Kittel is basically the main goal of the Seder, or one of the sub-goals, is to have the kids ask a question. So it's all it is according to one possibility, is a way to dress up in a way which is weird and the cows are kid to try to ask a question. Or you can wear a matzah tie. Okay? Matzah tie is also good. Left my matzah, okay? So that's also, okay, the matzah tie. You got to have the matzah tie. All right? So that's all called she'elata ben, to cause the child to ask a question. All right? That's the rationale. Another rationale, it's idea of, shows the idea of a sort of a purity and idea of that this is an exalted evening. You want to have it's a transformational evening. Okay. Now let's get down to the nitty gritty. Tonight we're going to do a model seder. You don't have to drink four glasses of wine, but if you do, I have the wine. Just don't drive. Okay, that's my only request. Okay, I'll allow you to drink four glasses of wine. What most people have done in the past, they've poured it up and they've topped it off a tad bit. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm just going to show you. I'm going to show you over here how to make Kiddush. It's also for Shabbos and for Yontif okay. So can I fill up a glass this tall? Is this good? Tell me when I've filled my glass appropriately. Is this good?
No. Don't mix that with that. There's a bottle right there. It's open.
That's white.
Don't use that bottle.
Right. Okay. We have another bottle. Again, so
$80
retail value. Yeah. That's it. I already mentioned that once. No, but then I don't want to mix it. That would make it all. Okay, guys. Shh. Now, a glass for kiddush. Here's a couple of just basic laws. It must contain what they call a reviyat halug, which is an ancient measurement, which is basically let's call it 4 ounces. Okay, so your cup only has to be 4 ounces. This is, by the way, 8 ounces. So what I recommend getting smaller glasses because the kiddush is not just it's kiddush like we say every Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's also the first of the
four cups.
How much do you have to drink of it? You should ideally try to drink the entire thing. If you can't, how much can you drink of it? At least 51%, what they call rove kos, majority of the cup.
You have to have at least over 2 full glasses of wine.
Yeah. So therefore, make the glass small.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Make the glass small. If you're drinking this 8 ounces, and you're drinking 4 of these babies, you're on the couch. You're not making it to. You're not seeing a matzah. Okay.
What's the reason for
what? In halacha, in Jewish law, like every legal system, it has very clear measurements and metrics. In other words, a definition of eating is defined by a kezayit, eating an olive's bulk worth. A reviyat is a certain measurement of a beverage. And then kiddush, by the way, generally, the person making kiddush generally has to have a cheekful. But since we're supposed to drink 4 cups of wine, because it's really, we're celebrating our redemption, sort of the toast, you have to partake of it. At what point have you drinking the wine? Either I drank the whole thing or I drank the majority, because one of the principles of Judaism, ruba kakula, the majority, if I consume the majority, is as if I had the whole thing. Okay? So, now I want everybody to rise. I'm going to just do the kiddush, everybody. We're going to do the kiddush. I'm mimicking how we're going to do, because on this Seder night is going to be also Shabbat. So you stand. On Yom Tov, you don't have to stand. Most people sit down. So we'll just... Okay, I'm going to do the traditional song, and here we go. So I'm going to skip the Vayichu part, because that's, I'll do it, whatever. Vayir vayogim mashishi, vayichu lashmai barach kol tzoham, vayichali mayim mashim melech tzoha asher asav, vayishbos mayim mashim mikom melech tzoha asher asav, vayivarech lamiz yom mashim vakei deik shosav, ki vo shavaz mikom melech tzoha asher broilim lasos, tzari, baruch ato aronoi, Eloheinu melech alam, Borei Peri Hagafet. Sing along so you learn it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Asher bachar banu mikol haolam V'ramon mikol hashon V'kidishanu b'mitzvotav V'titen lanu Adonai Eloheinu be'ava Shabbosos limnucha, umorim simcha, chagim uzmanim lesason. Es yom ha-shabbos hazeh, ves yom chagamatzos hazeh, zeman cheruseinu, v'yava mikra kodesh, zecher litziat Mitzrayim. Kivanu v'charta, v'osanu kidasha, mikol amim. V'shabbos to the page. Kacha Amade Kacha Beava Rasam Bismcha Rasam Him Chaltanu Baruch Adonai Mekadei Shashabas Yisrael Ve'azmanim. Since it's the beginning of a holiday, we say Shachinu Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shechianu V'kiyamanu V'hegiyanu Lazman Hazeh. Okay, question. When I drink the cup of wine and I eat the matzah, how must I do it?
Leaning
on the left side, but leaning on something, so you can lean on the table. Good. You should have people have a... or you can put an inverted chair. You can do the chair thing. I'll just show you, give a couple options here. All right. So you why the leaning? Lean on the left because you lean on something like this. Why are you leaning? Why are you leaning? By the way, pictures here for Facebook. Pictures for Facebook. This is good. This is.
I'm doing it.
Well done. Okay, so why are we leaning? We're showing our freedom. We're free people. So in the Roman Greco manner, the time the rabbis created the law of the drinking of the four cups, the way of showing royalty was they drank in the Roman Greco way, which on couches. They had couches around the table. You had like a little TV table, and you had a little couch, just like you see like movies of Cleopatra. That's how they did it. So we still do that. Okay, so we just drink a drink. I'm not going to drink the whole thing because I won't be able to myself finish this later.
Why do your left side? Right?
Left because on the right side you'll choke. It'll go down your windpipe and then you'll choke.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, it's a pragmatic reason, so you'll not choke.
The windpipe is on the right side?
If I go here, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes. Okay, here we go. Kadesh, Orchatz, Orchatz. Okay, here we're going to do. We're going to do two things. We are going to do a wash. Now, typically this is washing for what?
Bread.
No, we're not washing the bread.
We're
washing for the karpas. There's a little known law that not only do we wash for bread, we also wash for wet vegetables. So I'm going to dip the celery. Now, by the way, does everybody know about the Subway law of the 1,000 handshakes? 1,000 handshakes. When you go on the Subway and you hold onto the pole, you've just taken 1,000 handshakes. So I want to recommend, we have forks here.
I already washed.
Okay, so there is a, I want you to use the fork to get the celery, dip it, and then we have these little cute little salt water things.
Nice.
Dip it in there, so don't put your little fist in there, okay?
Okay.
Just because that's only, that's just called being a mensch, okay? Now, what we're going to do now, we tip.
Parsley or celery?
Celery, parsley, potatoes, there's different customs, they're all good. Okay? We're all good. All right, so we're going to do something different here. Guys, we're going to do a little different. We are going to cheat, since it's not the actual Seder, and you're all probably hungry.
Yep.
Okay. I wasn't sure, but thank you more. All right. Are we hungry? We're hungry. Okay. What we're going to do is you're going to wash and you're going to make the, normally at this point you would not make the blessing on the washing. We're going to make the blessing on the washing. You're going to slide over to the bread and then I'm going to have Vinny bring out the hot food. We're going to take a little break action. Take a little plate like this and you're going to have a little.
Use your hands to...
Use your fork, yeah, use the thing, okay? So that everybody got the game plan? We're going to wash, we're going to make the bracha, you're going to take a little of the pitot, you're going to make yourself a little plate action, I'm bring out the hot stuff, and then you make the most of yourself, and then we're going to go, and then when we get everybody's all settled, we'll continue on from the karpas phase, right? Ready? Go.
Break. I want to make this well. I want to see you.
Just get started. All right, while you're enjoying eating, I'll do a little more sharing, downloading. Okay. Adrian asked the question is, why don't we do that our Seder? Like, why don't we have, like, you know, like we did Kaddish or Chatz? Okay, dinner's good. I mean, that would be, like, awesome, right? Yeah. It would actually model basically every single Shabbat meal where you have Kiddush and you make a motzi and you have the meal. So why are we not doing the meal immediately? Question.
You have to finish the story.
Why?
You have to start the story and then...
So do the story afterwards.
Yeah. Well, everybody's all tired.
Then everybody leaves.
Right, so that, okay. It's a practical reason. Basically, if you want to get... If something's important, if something's mission critical, you got to do it first. Because if the Jews basically would eat, they'd be going, right, and we're done. They'd leave. Now, but the challenge often is that many people, let's say on Friday, they're going to come from work, they've had lunch at like 12, and then the Seder starts late. Yeah. By the time you get through Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpatz, Yachatz, Magid, that could take a while. So you're not seeing food till it could be 9 o'clock, could be later. Okay? So what I do, you can't have the meal beforehand, because you have to eat your matzah and your mar and your hill sandwich with an appetite. So I do a tapas style approach. I will have my wife send around during the magid part a bowl, one meatball, one little bit of kugel. In other words, it's like a little bit hors d'oeuvre. In other words, extend the hors d'oeuvres out. You're not having the meal. You make kiddush, you can eat, no problem. So this way ties the people over. Because you don't want people, not only do you want people to be not hungry, you don't want to be hangry. Because the hangry Jew is not a pleasant Jew and going to be so productive insofar as all the lofty ideas we mentioned before. So that's how I've solved the problem. Also, I jack up my kids with lots of caffeine. Diet Coke and regular Coke and whatever Mountain Dew is on my table. So they're jacked. They're staying up. They're getting the caffeine fix. A, they're getting the food. I don't make an announcement. I just pass it around. Skadoosh. And people like say, like, you know, hoping them think, hey, you know, a little meatball showed up in my ear. You know? I recommend that because I don't really start eating till 11:30. Adrian, get ready, by the way. My mug is 2 hours.
But aren't we eating throughout the Seder, though?
Okay, fine. You want to call out a piece of celery? Okay, so...
So wait, when do you do the Kiddush first and then...
Kaddish, Urchatz, we wash. Now we're up to Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpath. Now...
But then can you pass around your...
Yeah. After you make Kiddush, you can pack an appetizer. After you do your karpas, you keep on having appetizers. All right, but it can't be that you're going to be jammed up with, you're so full. You want to be able to take off the edge, have some appetite, but not be, go from hangry to hungry to like, all right, I'm not stuffed. I got room. I can eat. When the food shows up, when there's a masa ball soup, it will be welcomed. When the brisket shows up, I'll be calling my name. I'm good. Okay, these are traditional Ashkenazic foods. Okay. So we got that. Now let's keep on rocking. Now, I want to share something I got the top four questions that MGers ask me every year. So I'm sure you got my email for the Pesach hotline. Here are the top four questions. Number one, as you know, when must you start your Seder on the Seder night?
When you see three stars.
Correct.
I don't know why I remember that.
So, well, Gail's correct. When you see three stars, three stars is roughly going to be around 7:40, 7:45. Most non-Orthodox Jews are starting their Seder at what time?
Six.
That's a good time. Dinner time. So that is a full hour and 45 minutes before. Now, what's the problem? The problem is, we're going to see later in the Haggadah, it says the mitzvah of eating the matzah is only when it's Pesach. They're eating it before Pesach. So what do you do? Because you don't want to have a World War III fry at the Seder. That's your goal. Two words you need to know. Shalom, bias. Peace in the home. Coming home to your parents who are having the Seder at 6 and saying, do you realize that, you know, we're going to have to wait till it's... either if you go militant, we can't start till 7:45. Rabbi Rosenthal said, that's going to go over real well. All right, or say, oh, what time you start the Seder? 6? Loser. Not going to go over well. So what do? You let them start the Seder, and there's nothing wrong with having a pre-Seder, what I call pre-game in it. You're going to have a glass of wine. They're making Kiddush Kazuntait. Delicious. They want to read some Haggadah? Wonderful. They want to sing some psalms? I'm in. Then at 7:45, you fill your glass up, covertly, not go like this. Please rise for my Kiddush, which you guys do not fulfill your obligation for. No, you just sort of surreptitiously open up to page 21, on the DL and make a kiddush. Quietly catch up. Okay? This way, you do the mitzvah, you're actually having the Seder on Pesach, which is helpful. Okay? And B, you're not starting a war. That's number one. This is number one challenge, number one, every MGer. Now, number two, some people, you're going to go to a Seder with parents, basically they have the attention span of a short YouTube video. Their maggid is, ma'anishana, di-di-yedu, okay, matzah ball soup. Okay, it could be done, you know, they'll do their whole Seder in about 6 seconds. So there is a minimalistic amount of, when we get to the actual text of the Haggadah, I'll show you what the minimum is. But if they're not going to do, you could do it all night long, so you could do more yourself. Three, you're hungry, I suggest the tapas-style approach of kugel or extra vegetables and good stuff. Yes, please.
You serve the tapas style approach when they like when the matzah and the
before
sandwich.
Way before.
So when do you send that out?
That's when it
ever
comes out.
Oh, like just when? Like
random. Tarif urcha karpas.
Oh, I see. When you're dipping the salt.
When my wife feels that the hungerometer is going past into the red zone, and she launches Operation Meatball. Okay. Next. Last number four issue while you're still munching on the good food here is, I'll give you a story that happened not that long ago. We had a family, two quick vignettes of MGs. As you know, all MG families are generally not observant. That's the deal. And one parent was absolutely militant that they come home for Pesach and do the Seder with them. They're not changing over any food. There's fully chametz, there's Entenmann's is in the cupboard. The bread is on the table. It's like Chametzville. Welcome to Chametzville.
I went to her Seder once, and she was bragging that I had no bread. I was younger, I remember. And then she comes out with pasta.
Okay. So I've had people who are Bali Tshuva, who their brother comes in the middle of the Seder with a beer. Because, it was a beer would go well with the Seder. I mean, beer goes with everything. So, IGA for the Seder, why not? Okay, so what do you do? What do you do? Anybody, any thoughts before I...
Well, don't embarrass them.
Okay.
And as long as you don't partake, what can you do?
Correct.
I embarrass them.
In other words, embarrassing a person is a significant crime in Judaism. It's akin to murder. Bubba says embarrassing people in public is a social assassination. Okay? A. So, but very simply, as you said beautifully, their chametz, their problem. You can't own chametz. Do you own chametz? I do not own any chametz. I gave Rabbi Shuki my chametz for it. I'm good. Their chametz, their problem. Are they open to a different thing? They said they're not. Okay.
What if they bring chametz into your kosher Passover house?
It's not your chametz. You can't own chametz. You cannot own chametz. Okay. So, and when they leave, you can. Okay, you have to get rid of it now. Go.
Chametz form, which I saw last night. No chametz form is meant to state where the chametz is. Yours doesn't.
It says your address, right?
Yeah.
That's sufficient.
But aren't you going to say that's sufficient, yes?
That's sufficient.
I thought most forms you're going to say it's like in a cupboard or it's in this part.
No, they know it's in... They know if it's in your address, it's going to be in your kitchen. Mm. I mean, that's a fair assumption. Now, MG parents who are not observant fall into four buckets. Number one, the super accommodating one. Oh, you're becoming keeping kosher? Wonderful. We're going to make our home kosher. Have that. Okay?
What's the percentage of those parents?
10%. No, it's not because they like kosher. It's that they want to have the maximum relationship with their kid. And if they're doing kosher, I'm doing kosher. I don't care. Kosher's good. Why not? It's a Jewish thing. That's one category. Bucket number one. Bucket number two. Well, we're not keeping kosher. But we allow you to have a kosher section. These cupboards are yours. Kosher pots and pans, yours. Kosher food here, our non-kosher stuff there. Okay, it's accommodating. We're not changing our lifestyle. You want to do your life thing? Beautiful. Okay, we give you a kosher section. That's the other category. Third accommodation. We're not giving you a section. We're not really happy about this, but we will begrudgingly allow you to bring in your food and double wrap and put it into our non-kosher oven. Let's, you know. Then there is the hardcore last 10%, which is no negotiations, no accommodations, full hostility. Okay? We are angry that you are rejecting our values by keeping kosher, and we hate you. We're not happy about that. Okay?
I don't get that. Like, you're rejecting our values?
I understand. I'm just telling you the facts. It's about 5%. It's harsh.
Yeah.
Okay, another quick example. I just want to give you food for thought if you're in a situation. So I had an MGer who was in the fellowship a couple years ago. I'm not going to mention any names. Mom doesn't keep kosher. But for Pesach, you'll find that she's buying only kosher for Passover food. But she's going to cook it in her non-kosher pots and pans. Now, the woman said, Mom, allow me to cater Pesach. I'll bring the food in. No. My house. My food.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm cooking. I always cook. You're not bringing your cater food in here. No way. No how. Is it, you know, we're talking about a full-on mother-daughter friction, okay? It's like, yeah. Meep, 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 meep. So she calls me. She shows up. Mom had cooked the brisket and is expecting on Erev Pesach. Kosher meat, glad kosher meat, not kosher meat. OU, big fat OU. And all the products were kosher pesach. Can she use that food? So the answer, let's not go through a whole loss of kosher, but she could eat of that. Why? There are different dispensations of bittul of nullification. Nullification exists before Pesach, does not fall on Pesach. So if you're in that situation, I can't discuss all the permutations, give me a call or any of the rabbis at MGE, we'll work it out. Because shalom, you know, obviously one does not ideally cook your kosher Pesach stuff in non-kosher Pesach or non-kosher dishes before Pesach, but under certain circumstances, it permitted. Okay. Let's keep on going. Let's open up our gutters again. Save it away from the pitot. Here we go. Kadesh, Orchas, Karpas. Guys, take a fork. Spear it into the... Scott, do it here. Let's pass it around. And then take one, and then dip it in, and then spear it, and then dip it into the salt water. Okay, we're going to do it together. All right? Beautiful.
So you're saying it's fine, like, if the meat is kosher, everything's kosher, but, like, the oven wasn't kosher, like, they can still eat it? Like, I'm not going home for
it. I want to know.
My mom always koshers the oven. She switches all the pots, everything.
We got you up.
But... So I can tell her, like, you don't have to bother. Like,
No. You do have to bother. I'm just saying, we're talking about people who are right. Hostile to doing anything.
Right.
Or you as the MJE are coming to a hostile environment, how to navigate that. So knowing the halachic details makes a difference. So just let me know, and again, we'll work out a way. There have been thousands of people in your shoes who've been in that situation. Okay, so let's say. Now. All right, everybody, let's get the, did everybody get karpas? Everybody get the celery? Now, everybody needs the salt water. We got to salt water it up. Everybody dip it?
Yep.
You need maximum dippage here.
Maximum.
How many times are we going to dip tonight?
Many.
Four.
Three.
Twice.
How many dip?
Four times.
We're going to dip for the karpas. We're going to dip the maror. We're going to dip the hill sandwich three times. Triple dippage, okay? Or we're going to make the bracha, even though we don't have to technically make the bracha because we already made, really, the making the motzi covers everything, but I'm just going to do it as if this is a training session. So I'm going to pass me a little karpas action.
I think that's...
Shtei pe'amim.
Rabbi, what's going on?
That's what I said twice.
Right, correct. That's technical. Those are... Okay, good question. We'll save that question. Good question?
Okay.
Now, by the way, what I do for good questions, I have Seder dollars.
Oh yeah.
I take a Monopoly dollar. I wind it out and I put the Seder dollars. I Xerox it, so I give out my kids and actually everybody, my family who ask a question, like more get the two. That's a two Seder dollar question.
Woo!
Yeah. But that's not a big deal. I have a full 1-to-1 redemption thing after things. So $1 is equal $1 American. So I spend hundreds of dollars for Pesach because that's it. This is the night. This is Jewish education, baby. This is it. Pass the pass. I need some dippage.
Shouldn't they be paying you?
Yeah.
$10 for asking bad questions.
Right. Well, I will confiscate that question. That thing. All right. Okay. Now we're gonna now. Guys, technically we don't have to make a bracha at all. We're gonna make the bracha, but we're trying to learn what to do here. I'm sitting down. We're gonna make the bori pri hadama, the blessing on vegetables, and you're gonna have a mind for also what other vegetables we can eat later on. Maror. Tonight we have two kinds of maror. We'll be showing that. And of course, for the people who are strong and vigilant, we're going to have the maror contest. We'll see who's really the toughest person around the table. This thing, I opened up a crack. Oh, yeah. I literally, my eyes watered. This has been Seasons. Did us a special favor. I want to give a big yashkar to Seasons. So if you're listening to them, thank you, Seasons. They made us a nice Seder plate, which we'll get to momentarily. They grained us 2 pounds of horseradish. This stuff is potent. 2 pounds. 2 pounds of charoset, which will charoset as well. Okay? They did it. It's a little bit like a 90s early. They did it for us. They love MG. Okay. We're going to make the bracha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam borei peri ha'adamah.
Can we go back to carpets?
We don't wash with the brush. Some do, like the Vilna Gaon did. There's a debate about that.
Okay, so forget the kids who always are intrigued. This whole Seder is about the kids. But yeah.
No. It's not the Seder's not only for the kids. The kids are. A spotlight's on the kids, but the people around the table are also.
So what's the source on that? Why we don't. It's the only time I've ever. Where we wash over food without a brush, over food.
Bread, and it's a little. It's one of those.
Doesn't the matzah count as bread?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you said we were washing over dipping the vegetable.
Get so yeah. If you have in general, if you have vegetables, let's say a pickle or something, you wash it. You'd wash and have a wet vegetable or a wet fruit. Uh-huh. You'd have to wash in general. Oh. It's a universal halacha. People are not aware of it.
Oh.
I always wash
without a bracha. Before you say hadal.
Yeah, if I dip it in a liquid.
What's the source on this?
The Shulchan Aruch.
Shulchan Aruch.
Okay, all right. See, everybody's learning everything. Okay, now. All right.
So that's the answer.
Kadesh, Urchas. Keep on rolling here. Kadesh, Urchas, Karpas, Yachatz. Yachatz! What's Yachatz, guys?
Yachatz.
What's Yachatz?
Breaking the middle.
Chilu. Ba-da-dum-bum-bum. 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 This is Shmura Matzah.
Yeah.
What is Shmura Matzah? What does Shmura Matzah mean?
Not machine.
Made in New York.
Watch
is correct. Thank you, Anna. Senior fellow, by the way. Just saying. Shmura. Shamur. Shmura, Lishmur. The Shulchan Aruch brings that there are 3 kinds of matzah. One is watched from the time of harvesting the grain. Okay, so they make sure that no water gets in contact to it. The next one is from the wash from the time of grinding. And the third is wash from the time of kneading. The machine matzah, about $1, watch from the time of grinding. This is watch from the time of harvesting. Retail price anywhere from $15 at Costco to $30 at Seasons up the block, okay? Okay? One should endeavor for the Seder night to have matzah shmura. You don't have to buy 1 pound. One should, that's a better, let's do the mix in the more better way, okay? So I'm now going to split it. What am I doing? What's the biggest one going to be? Unbelievable. And the little one's going to be the one that's be the audiovisual aid for the Maggid. Okay? So basically, you tell them the story, you got to have props.
What okay? If there's not enough Akikumen for
everyone else? You add more from the box. Okay? So I traditionally, my family, some people, kids hide it. I hide it, the kids find it. I do the hiding when I see they're starting to wilt. Because the whole purpose of hiding matzah is basically to energize the kids to like stay up so they can, you get another, get some more juice out of them. All right?
And that's
the,
hide it right away.
No, I don't hide it right away.
Right.
No, that's that. You know, that's.
Save that for
no, me. You do not want to peak early on many of the things in life. Okay. Leave it here. Okay. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid. All right. So now, Magid's about telling over the story. We talked about that a little bit earlier, okay? So we're going to have to take the matzah. The broken matzah is lifted up for all to see. The head of the household begins with the following brief explanation of halachmanya. Okay, I'm going to... Okay, this talks about the matzah. The matzah. Why is the matzah the main prop of the story? Quick question, guys. Why is the matzah the main prop of the story? It's lechem oni. The bread of affliction is also what? It's also the bread of redemption. Two sides of the matzah. Skadoosh. Okay? So it's a bread that also reflects the fact that Jews left in a hurry. So it's a double identity. Also, the Talmud says, lechem oni, lechem she'onim harbei alav. The bread that you talk a lot about. It becomes the prop in which you discuss all the elements of the story. So that's why you talk about halach manya first. Now, we're going to, of course, because we're short on time, I'm going to stick it back here. Now, what is the Seder plate? What's the Seder plate?
It's another prop.
Correct. The shank bone and the egg represent, is a zecher migdash, a representative of the time of the temple. If all the Jews, in the time of the temple, where were all Jews?
In Israel.
Where specifically in Israel? There was one of the three pilgrimage holidays. We'd all be in Jerusalem. In the time of, for example, Josephus talks about that the Jewish population of Jerusalem quadrupled to over 1 million people during the Second Temple times. You would have the Korban Pesach, the Paschal offering offered that afternoon, and you'd be having two offerings. One would be the holiday offering, okay, the regular Chagigah, and then you'd have the Korban Pesach, the Paschal lamb offer that. You'd have your main meal be meat. It's the only time that a vegetarian have to eat meat, and you have the Paschal lamb. So at least have an olive's worth, about an ounce, okay? These two things that... I just sort of hopped that in there. Okay. So these are the zecher to make that. These are one is zecher to the Korban Pesach. One is a zecher to the. These two things are. Thank you. Sorry for the Hebrew. They commemorate the two offerings. Then we have the charoset. What's the charoset? Charoset. What's the charoset? It commemorates the mortar that the Jews used in their making of the Empire of Egypt. What now we have chazeret. We have two kinds of maror. What are two kinds of maror? Romaine and horseradish. Okay. And the karpas we already used. Okay. So what is the where does the Talmud talks? The Mishnah talks about five species of vegetable that can be used for maror. We use romaine, which without before massive agricultural it used to be more bitter. Now they made it just basically sweet. Okay. It's the right species, so you're technically off like that. The maror. Why did Jews always in Europe always eat maror, horseradish, the horseradish root? Because it was cold. There was no green.
So
Jews always Jews who lived in more temperate areas had various kinds of lettuce. Which had a bitter thing, like escarole is another variety you can use, which is bitter. There's certain variety. Romaine also, but this is romaine. If you allow it to grow in the field longer, it gets increasingly bitter. But our producers in agriculture, they harvest it as a younger plant, and therefore still has that sweetness and makes a fantastic Caesar salad. But luckily, it's still a species. Okay, so we're gonna have two. I personally have. The romaine for the maror, and then for the hill sandwich, I go old school.
You only need one,
and we'll get to that. Okay, so that's it. So this is an audiovisual prop. At certain points, it's taken off the table. And in fact, when you take it off, right before Mashiach, take it off the table. Why take it off the table?
So nobody eats it?
Nope.
So you can go hide the apikomen?
Nope. Because it was a weird thing, it's to cause a child to ask questions. Thank you. Oh, I'm glad you asked. That's not a pinata. So for my 11-year-old kids, that's not a pinata. That's a Korban Pesach. And you know what's in the Korban Pesach? I'll put in numerous candies.
Wow.
Okay, good. All right, we're good. All right, good? So that's why you do that?
I have to break it open on Pesach.
It's already pre-opened. I have it filled with candies.
Ah.
And I want everybody to get a candy. So the kid, because again, you want to engage the kids. The kids, you want to engage them educationally. So you want for them to ask a question. If the kid does not ask a question, we have the boilerplate, the, as we mentioned before, with this Magi, which is the digest, the Seeper, which is off the thing.
Now, how common is that? I've never seen that before.
Well, you got to be creative. Yeah. No, candies goes back to the Talmud. You always give the kids candies. You give candies at the beginning of the meal. Normally, dessert is served at the end of the meal. You give the candies at the beginning of the meal. Why? Dad, Mom, you never serve me candy and stuff at the table. Oh, you know why? And then you go into it because this night is different from all other nights.
Everybody,
hand out candies.
Wait, is there actually candy?
What's going on? Okay, what's going on? All right, let me explain. I will try to. I put candy in generally, but I have candy here. I generally do. I usually have kosher pesach candy. I don't want to put the non-kosher pesach candy in right now, so I'm going to use that again. But what I do is I try to figure out a prop with my wife's help because she's great at this, to figure out an idea that will really cause like something bizarre. Not everything works. I one time came down dressed in a tuxedo, not a peep. Nothing. Okay, Dad. We bought the piñata. What? Is there candy in there? It was like unbelievable. So we also put, also within our doorway, I put blue streamers. We're going through the blue, the splitting of the Red Sea. You got to do things to engage the younger members of your family. Yes, because they know, they remember last year. So I got to read it.
Also because they get bored.
Yeah, well, okay. At a certain point, at a certain point, you don't do that anymore because, you know, you're not, they're already able, they know the story. They're now engaged at a different level. But for the younger set, you got to engage them with props. And you got to, in other words, not only do you have to clean for Pesach, not only do you have to cook for Pesach, not only do you have to buy any new clothes for Pesach, ideally, you got to prepare for Pesach. I won't try to convey that. And you have to understand, if you're running the Seder, who's around your table? I have one guy, I got Uncle Harry, who's the atheist. All right, great. I got pissed off Janine, who's coming to Seder. All right. I got the non-frum, what, the non-Jewish, okay.
Girlfriend.
So what a girlfriend, right? So you get the what they call the area, the mixed multitude, and you got to figure out how you can engage this group. One strategy is you also break up the Haggadah and have them prepare different parts. I'm going to text you this. I'm going to email you this part. You're going to talk about this because you're a social worker and you can talk about this from your perspective. You engage everybody. You sort of divide and conquer. There's all kinds of strategies for this.
You bring up the piano.
But certainly in the Magid part. Magid.
Beginning.
Okay? Now, we're going to go to... All right. Okay, we cannot be Yotze. We cannot fill our obligation of the...
Wow.
We cannot fill the obligation of the model Seder without some singing. And... all right, turn to page 24 in your Haggadah. You should know this one. If you don't, we can learn now. Oh, man, is the night, everybody, Shelly Lowe's.
I'm a little bit of a
guys. All right. And then we talk about there's really one question, how is tonight different? And we express there are four differences. One is having that tonight, and every night we have matzah and chametz. This night's only matzah. Every other night we have all kinds of vegetables. Here we have maror. Every night we dip once. Here, time we only dip twice. We'll get to the issue. The answer is that custom, the major mitzvah is the matzah and the maror. Hill sandwich is an additional custom, so it's really a redo. And then we recline. Normally we eat sitting or reclining. Tonight's all reclining. And then we have the response. Why are we doing this? Oh, avodi mayinu hayinu, etavol mitzrayim b'mitzrayim, yotzi anu Hashem elokeinu, yisham yachizak mitzrayim. We say that we were slaves to Egypt. Okay, now let's have some reading. Get some reading going on. All right, we got to rock. We're already 8:20. Okay, all right, let's go. So we forgot. Ooh, good. So we didn't notice that the second. Okay, so Jonathan pointed out he caught us. We made a goof. What did we made a goof? We're supposed to pour. The first glass of wine is finished by the Kiddush. And before Magid, the four cups of wine, which are basically four toasts of freedom, first cup is Kiddush. Second what? We fill it up for the Magid, the telling of the story. And then at the end of the Magid, you drink the second cup, reclining. The third cup is drunk when?
At the end of Magid, you drink the
second cup. The third cup of wine is drink when? At the end of Birkat HaMazon, okay. And the fourth glass of wine, the conclusion of the Haggadah, is the Seder, is at the end of the Hallel. Okay, so we're supposed to have a glass of wine. We're doing the entire story over a glass of wine. It's like a large toast. Like, you know, you have the best man. So you elevate the conversation by giving it a gratitude by over a glass of wine. That's the idea, okay? So we didn't pour a glass. If you guys want a little more wine. Now, how does one pour wine on the Seder?
You pour for your friend.
You pour, why? Royalty, right? We're trying to reenact royalty. Reenact royalty. A royal person, an aristocrat doesn't drink their pour their own wine. God forbid. You go to a fancy restaurant, the sommelier pours the wine.
And you said that the bracha once at the beginning, that's it.
Ah, very good question. Do we make how many brachas on the bar pre govern do we make? Ashkenazim make four, because it's considered an interruption between the first. Sephardim make two. They make it for the Kiddush. Their bar pri govern counts for the first and second, and then after benching, since it ended the meal, you make it two, and then that's it, and then that counts for both glasses. So, John, would you like to? Can I pour you some wine?
Thanks, Rabbi.
All right. Now, generally, the glass has to be poured to where far?
Halfway.
No. To the top. When do you go over the top? When does the custom go over the top? One time. When?
Havdalah.
Jonathan Rosen, another Seder point for him. Excellent. No, this is not a fancy, not a half a glass. To the tippy top. Enough so when he picks it up, he spoils it on himself. Okay, but we're not doing that right now. Okay,
what are you saying,
Matt, thank you so much. Thank you.
Do you need to get new wine glasses for Passover?
Excellent question. If you are Sephardic,
Kosher
love Pesach. Sephardic Jews do not treat glasses. You can use it for meat, dairy, chametz, everything. Ashkenazim are a little more strict, so they kosher them. So we'll talk about that. So check the Pesach guide for more information. All right, let's keep on rocking here. We got a lot of territory. We don't have to do that. We're still good. Now, all right. Question. Shh. Okay, guys, freshen up your glass. We've got a little bit of the good stuff left. And we also have by the way, recommend, as I mentioned, oh, no, it's gone. All right, we did good. Okay. All right. Is there any more of that white? Or that white's gone? Beautiful. All right, we did a good job. All right, good. I guys recommend try the wine. Now, the white. Now. All right, there's a lot of stuff here. I want to get done in half an hour. How are we going to do this? Okay.
just finished Magid.
We didn't finish Magid. All right, so, so page 27. You have various paragraphs that we talk about why the life's different because we were slaves. Okay, great. Now, it says like this. Let's pick it up. Who would like to read? All right, Casey.
I was going to volunteer.
All right, read from We Were Slaves into Egypt. Let's read. And we'll do a couple. Page 27.
Okay. We were slaves to Pharaoh of Egypt, but Hashem, our God, took us out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Had not the Holy One, blessed is he, taken our fathers out from Egypt, then we, our children, and our children's children would remain enslaved to Pharaoh of Egypt. Even if we were all men of wisdom, understanding, experience, and knowledge of the Torah, it would still be an obligation upon us to tell about the Exodus from Egypt. The more one tells about the Exodus, the more he is.
So we mentioned before, obviously, to tell over the basic mechanics of the story that happened in Exodus is a finite phenomena. There's a couple chapters in Exodus. So why can it be the more you talk about it, the more praiseworthy it is?
You said why is it the more you talk about it?
Yeah. It's a mitzvah to tell over a story. Anybody increases on it, the more you discuss it, the greater praiseworthy it is. Why is that? If I read the Haggadah, I'm done. So you're supposed to repeat the exact same thing ever, endless, like
every time you talk about it, even if you don't even try, like, it's always going to be a different way. And, like, a kid will ask a different question, or, like, someone will read a passage in a different tone, or it'll just always be different.
It's not that the goal is not simply that it may be different. The more that you add, you're adding a new idea. In a certain sense, it's one part symposium. What's a symposium? Fancy word. Symposium is where people share their insight. The ideal Seder, which is the next story, let's read the next story, which is the ultimate, or the Haggadah gives you a glimpse of the gold standard epic Seder. Mm-hmm. Let's read it. Who would like to read the next paragraph? Okay. David.
It happened that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Sharfon were replying to Seder and B'nai Barak. They discussed the exit all that night until their students came and said to them, "Our teachers, it is daybreak time for the reading of the morning Shema."
Okay, so these are the five great scholars of the time of the Mishnah. What does the Haggadah tell about their Seder?
It was long.
Now, to them, did it feel long? The measurement involvement of the Seder is that you lose track of time. They were in the zone. And who interrupted them? Their students. Says, guys, I got to go to shul. Mm-hmm. Now, they were not just simply repeating the same information over and over again. They were extracting principle, idea, concept, metaphysical concept. We're talking about the main point. We're talking about God's intervention into human history. You're talking about God. You're talking about God's intervention. God saving the Jewish people. God rescuing the Jewish people. And every element is a new idea, new nuance. And they were able to extract concept and concept. And they were fully engrossed in rather an abstract, deep conversation. So that really is the ultimate. That's the ultimate thing. But everybody has to do the best that they can. So the reason, now these paragraphs really talk about the features of the Seder. It's really not the Magid. It's sort of a pre-Magid, pre-story framework. So we have the first one is the five guys. Then let's get to the next paragraph quickly. Let's go to Stephanie.
Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, "I am like a 70-year-old man, but I could not succeed in having the Exodus from Egypt mentioned every night until Ben Zoma expounded it. In order that you may remember the day you left Egypt, all the days of your life, the days of your life would have indicated only the days. The addition of the word all includes the nights as well. But the sages declare that the days of your life would mean only the present now. The addition of all includes the era of the Messiah."
Okay. So this is an example of where they had a conversation and they made a new insight. In other words, the measurement of a productive conversation is that a new breakthrough is made. It's not just repeating, it's not rehashing the old, it's coming up with the new. Okay, then we get to the four things. The four sons. Get read on. Keep going.
Blessed is the omnipresent. Should I do that or just go?
Yeah, get blessed. Blessed
is the omnipresent, blessed is he. Blessed is the one who has given the Torah to his people Israel, blessed is he.
Concerning four sons does the Torah speak, a wise one, a wicked one, a simple one, and one who is unable to ask.
Okay, so very simply, I mean, there's a lot of material here. I'm just going to sort of like, the key thing, why do we talk about four sons? The Torah does talk about, Moshe tells the Jewish people when you're going to be in the land of Israel and, your son's going to ask you a question. It says it four different times, four kids. Why are we talking about four sons here? Why is it relevant to telling over the story of the Exodus?
It covers the general spread of humans.
And therefore tells that the person...
The various personalities.
Okay.
So everyone's involved. Everyone can relate to at least one of the sons.
So that means that's really an obligation on the person leading the Seder that they must customize the Seder to every member of the audience. Whether it be the advanced student, the person who is turned off, whether it be just doesn't know, or needs encouragement to even ask. In other words, it puts the burden on, in other words, every father or head of person leading the Seder has to be a Jewish educator. Truthfully, every night, but certainly Seder night. The Seder night is a Super Bowl of Jewish education. And therefore, you need to be able to, you can't leave, oh, just focus on the top half of the class. Oh, there's a super smart kid who's like the goody two-shoes kid who knows all the answers. You got to engage all the kids, and not limit to all the kids, but everybody around the table. Okay, so it really puts a big obligation. Let's keep on rocking. I don't know, I'm not going to read through it. We don't have time for all that. Now, Let's skip. We're doing some skippage. Everybody likes that word, skipping. Okay, 31. Mechila, our original or our ancestors. Pick it up, second paragraph. Who would like to read? Who would like to read? 31, let's read. Let's go.
One might think the obligation...
No, skip the next paragraph. We're skipping.
Originally, our ancestors were idol worshippers, but now the omnipresent has brought us near to his service.
All right, stop right there. So part of the obligation is that we have to express the story in the story of contrast. And I had a Parsha class this past Tuesday night. We talk about reality TV. If you look at the American Idol, if you look at the Voice, you look at the X Factor, they always like break for the backstory. Why do they do the backstory? They talk about Jim. Not just he's a vocalist, but he was adopted, left for good. And then one woman took him in. Then his mother died of breast cancer. And to overcome his sense of sadness, he turned to music. And he wrote this song in memory of his mom. And then you have, then there's Katy Perry. Go ahead, sing the song. And then he sings a song called Gone. You know, and he sings a song, and therefore everybody's there like welling up in tears. And why are we doing that? Because what makes the identification and the thrill of the joy of the success is seeing the entire arc of the journey. So we start with two arcs of the journey. One we mentioned before, that we are initially slaves and then we are redeemed. Journey number one. Journey number two is that Avram's father was an idolater, and Avram as a boy was an idolater. And God, through this liberation, not only liberated us physically, but spiritually. We came to the idea of that there is one God. So there's two stories. It's a story nestled in another story. So you have to structure that to get maximum praise. Is to recognize how the nature of reality is such that the gifts that we have are not given. Cannot take anything for granted. Left, we say before, if we were left in Egypt, we would have been slaves to Par, which doesn't mean that literally, because there is no Par anymore, that we've been completely crushed, assimilated, and gone. We would have been not even a footnote in the pages of human history. We have been forgotten. God's intervention, partnering with the Jewish people, allowed us to have a bright future. Okay? Let's keep on rocking. Okay, so let's we cover the matzahs, we go to the bottom of the page, another song, page 31, here we go, or in Hebrew. V'hi she'amda, v'hi she'amda, lavo seinu v'lanim. V'hi she'amda, v'hi she'amda, lavo seinu v'lanim. All right, let's read the English. It is this that stood by our fathers and for us, for not only has one risen up against us to annihilate us, but in every generation they have risen up against us to annihilate us, but the Holy One, blessed be He, has rescued us from their hand. That really is a constant of Jewish history. If you want the shorthand, quick proof, or source of evidence that the narrative of the Jewish people is true, is that based upon a basic sense of the laws of political science, a minority of a minority without a land should be gone. We should not simply exist. And not only that, we are probably the most oppressed people. In every generation, first it was Paro, then it was the Babylonians, then it was the Greeks, then it was the Romans, then it was the Christians, then it was the Muslims, then it was the Christians, then it was the Nazis, just to give the short version. And we should not be here. We simply should not be here. And that indicates that fundamentally the covenant that we would remain is true. And and part of the night of the celebration of the Thanksgiving of the Jewish people is that we raise our glass, a toast to Hashem, that we are freely granted, that we're here. Because if you have any kind of cursory sense of history, we should not be here right now. This should not be happening. Let's continue. Then we have page 33. We have a discussion of the whole narrative with the oral law conversation. We're going to go through. Now, technically, if a person's not feeling well, they can do Kiddush and they can skip to page. We were initially slaves. We can go Kiddush, page 31, and then read to the end till the matzah, and you're good, because that's a digest of a digest. Okay. All right, so we do the whole thing. We talk about the 10 Makot. Let's do the 10 Makot. We do the 10 Makot. Everybody has to do that. We'll get some of the Dams. We're down page 39. Dams Vardeya Kinim Arov Dever Shechin Barad Arbe Choshech Machet Bechoros. Got to do that. Okay, so the bottom line is the idea is that the custom is that we don't inherently jubilate. We don't have a sense of jubilation over the destruction of the Egyptian Empire. We are happy for our personal redemption. So there's an idea that there's an element of ambivalence. Okay, we're going to skip the parts about the discussion about the 10 plagues. And of course, we would not be Yotze without singing Dayenu. So let me get my guitar. You cannot have a Seder. You cannot have a model Seder without a Dayenu action, all right? Am I right about that? Okay. Okay, good. Much better. Okay. Alright, well done. Oh,
we're not doing the whole thing?
No.
Eight minutes later.
I want to respect your time here. This is a model Seder, and it's not actually an actual Seder, okay? Alright, moving right along. That was a little hit of the day, ain't it? Alright, we keep on rocking. Alright. Alright, now, we skip down the main part of the Haggadah. This is sort of the Epic of Mal, page 43. Let's read. Let's have Anna. Page 43 in the middle, Rabbi Gamliel, how you would say?
Rabbi Gamliel used to say, whoever has not explained the following three things on Passover has not fulfilled his duty, namely Pesach, the Passover offering, matzah, the unleavened bread, maror, the bitter herbs.
I bring back the Seder, but to be the audiovisual aid. Here we go. Okay, matzah, go ahead, matzah.
Pesach,
thank you. I'm sorry about that. Pesach.
I've
already had four glasses of wine. Go ahead.
Why did our fathers eat a Passover offering during the period when the temple still stood? Because the Holy One, blessed is He, passed over the houses of our fathers in Egypt, as it is written, you shall say it is a Passover offering from Hashem, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when He struck the Egyptians and spared our houses, and the people bowed down and prostrated themselves.
Okay, this is the main point. So the theme of the Passover offering represents the idea of Hatzalah, the Jews being rescued. Here's the key thing. Judaism does not endorse the principle of passivity. We're not like, we say passive and God bail us out. The Jews have to make the move. And this is a true principle of all of us. Hashem creates a circumstance in life where there are doors for each and every one of us. We have to have the inner strength and conviction to walk through that door. Because God is not going to push you through the door. You have to express your free will by walking through that door, doing what it takes to make that next step. The Jews were confronted by a rather challenging opportunity. They're told by Moshe, you need to take the Paschal Lamb, which is the God, part of the pantheon of the gods of Egypt, put it in front of your front lawn for 4 days. The Egyptians will be curious. Pray tell, what are you going to do with this lamb? Well, in 4 days hence, we are going to slaughter it. We are going to roast it on the block party of all time. We are going to invite all our family and friends, and we're going to be munching on that together with matzah and maror. And now we're going to take its blood, and we're going to put it on the inner part of the doorpost. Now, many Jews could not do that because it meant breaking from the culture and society of Egypt where they grew up and were nurtured. So God confronts us and says, are you a Jew? Are you proud to be a Jew? Are you convinced that this is the right path? Show me. If you show me, you will live and see another day. If you don't, you'll have the same fate of the Egyptian Empire. What do you believe? What are your convictions? What are your actions? The Jews that could not break from the Egyptian culture passed away. The Jews that had the courage, the fortitude, the capacity to do that, slaughtered the lamb, invited family and friends, roasted it whole, ate in a celebratory meal on the night of the 15th, the first Seder of all time. And that really is a message for each and every one of us. Every single one of us have certain challenges and opportunities, and the door opens, and are we going to walk through?
That the kids in those homes didn't have a choice, you know, like the parents.
Okay, but the adults who have children don't really have free will because there is no mind. There is no way to
live. Saying it's sad.
Okay, correct. Okay, that's a good question.
I mean,
but,
the same thing like in secular homes today. It's like a lot of kids.
So we're not in the business of the. We leave the judging department to God.
Right.
So we don't know. That's God's assessment. But for us who have an awareness, have an understanding, and there's a general principle that which makes the episode of the Seder and of Eastern Drama a universal principle of Judaism. It's four Hebrew words, Habala Taher, Mesayim Oso. A person comes to purify themselves, he or she is helped. But what's the key thing? You gotta make the first move. The Jews had to decide to do that. If they didn't do that, not happening. God will help you, but you got to make the move. He's not going to infantilize you by taking you by the hand. That's not a free will decision. He wants you to be an adult. See the situation, assess the pros and cons, make a decision, either walk through the door or don't walk through the door. That's it. That's Pesach. We move on. Matzah. Let's go.
Matzah, why do we eat this unleavened bread? Because the dough of our fathers did not have time to become leavened before the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed is He, reveals Himself to them and redeemed them, as it is written. They baked the dough which they had brought out of Egypt into unleavened bread, for it had not fermented, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provisions for the way.
So this matzah represents the immediacy of the redemption, Geula. Right, Soloveitchik asked a very basic question. They knew, they were told they're going to be leaving Egypt. Why didn't they, a Jew does not like to go across the street without packing food. The Jews that I know. Okay? So why didn't they like do it? Because another Jewish trait was present. Skepticism. Disbelief. cynicalism. It's not going to happen. This is a dream. It's not happening. They did the Korban Pesach, and then there was God, king of Egypt said, you need to leave. They knew it intellectually, but they couldn't really believe that the 210-year stay in Egypt was ending. An end of a civilization. They could not believe that. So they just grabbed the dough. It shows the immediacy of the redemption, which shows you that when the Jew makes the decision, there's an immediate quality to it. You have no time to prepare. So Hashem sort of sneaks up on you. Because you're not, it's not happened through the normal step-by-step process of historical determinism. It's operating in a different system. And therefore, just Hashem sort of shows up when you least expect it. And that's true. I see that in my experience at MJE. Person walks down a street. He could have walked down 85th Street. He could have walked down 87th Street. He walked down 86th Street. He saw the sign for MJE. He came upstairs. Why? Opportunity showed up. But he could have walked by. He could have said, that's interesting. I'll check it out some other time. Or I won't check it out. The person decides to step through the door. And that person's life is completely different today. These opportunities show up. The question is, are you going to seize the opportunity? But it has an immediate quality. That's matzah. Maror.
Maror, why do we eat this bitter herb? Because the Egyptians embittered the lives of our fathers in Egypt, as it says. They embittered their lives with hard labor, with mortar and bricks, and with all manner of labor in the field. Whatever service they made them perform was with hard labor.
Excellent. So maror represents the bitterness that when we are under the protection of a human sovereign, ultimately, who gets the benefit? He does. What happens to everybody else? Everybody's enslaved. In other words, you can ask the people at your here's a short question for your Seder. Who was enslaved in Egypt? Everyone. Because Paro, like Achashverosh, used everybody as a tool for him. When you have the tyrant, everybody's a subject to the tyrant.
So even Egyptians.
Some were subjects that had more freedom. Somebody has less. Nobody beats the whiz. Okay? The bottom line is, like Achashverosh, you see a perfect story. He killed his wife, so every good-looking unmarried girl is now going to be sent to me for an erotic beauty pageant. And I will try them out one per night. And they have to become my concubines. So these women are poor lives, have no lives. When you have the tyrant, when you have human power, the tyrant, everybody's a slave. It's just that the Jews were the most enslaved. Everybody has to, you can't beat the tyrant. And that's the bitterness. When you believe human power, sovereignty, whether you believe in a socialist dream, a communist dream, even a capitalist dream, there's a bitterness there. There's only one true leader. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is compassionate. I'll just give you one little sense. I cannot tell you how many Jews looked at FDR during World War II as their savior. He's going to kill the Nazis, and he's going to take care of the Jewish people. And then it came out that he knew about the Holocaust as early as 1941. He could have bombed the tracks. He didn't. Because he doesn't care. Because he and the State Department were fundamentally anti-Semitic, and Jews dying at 16,000 people per day didn't bother him that all that much. But Jews looked at FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who saved America from the Depression, as literally a god. I am not even exaggerating. And then it came out later when all this information became declassified. There's a book called While 6 Million Died. And you see, they knew about it. And Jews believed, we're going to take care of it. You know, by defeating Hitler, we'll take care of the Jewish problem. Yeah, but they could have saved. You understand what it is? Bergen and Belsen, these concentrated, killing 16,000 people per day. They could have dropped a couple bombs on the crematoriums and on the gas chambers. It would have stopped their Germanic... That's maror. You rely on man, you're tasting maror. It's a universal principle. It's not just, it's Paro, it's Haman, it's Achashverosh, it's Hitler, it's FDR, it's everybody. We don't rely on human sovereignty. We have one king, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. He we trust, everybody else we suspect. We respect, but we suspect. We move on. Now, I would like to do a meditation moment here. Page 45. Because right, we've done the abridged version of the abridged version of the entire story, and we're about to praise God. So I like to ask my people, my Seder said, I want you to think about why you feel proud to be a Jew, happy to be a Jew, how you feel that the redemption has affected you personally. And I allow, and I try to encourage 60 seconds of absolute quiet. Now, for a Jew, that's an eternity. A Jew can't keep his fat mouth shut for more than 5 to 10 seconds. But you need a meditation moment here, because before you go into a praise, you got to get into the zone. You need what in one Hebrew word, you need kavana, focused thought. Okay, so it's the time. There's a time for meditation. It's right here. Okay, clear. Let's read it out in English. We'd like to read. Don't. All right, we got Gail. Always enthusiastic, Gail. Go ahead, go.
Wait, what paper?
45 in the middle. In every generation.
45.
Oh. No, we're gonna. Okay, we'll start. We'll start the first sentence. We're gonna skip.
In every generation, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. So stop right there. The key obligation is not to feel that there was a Jewish people a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away that were redeemed. No. I have to feel the benefit as I'm a direct beneficiary. First person, not third person, not second person. First person beneficiary. I'm the beneficiary. We're going to skip because we want to get out of here. Okay. Move on to page 47. Therefore. This is it.
Therefore, it is our duty to thank, praise, take tribute, glorify, exalt, honor, bless, extol, and exclaim him, who performed all these miracles for our fathers and for us. He brought us forth from slavery to freedom, from grief to joy, from mourning to festivity, from darkness to great light, and from servitude to redemption. Let us therefore recite a new song before him. Hallelujah.
Excellent. Yeah, so we say that, and then we say two paragraphs of the personal of the Hallel, which you say on joyous occasions. Then, on the bottom of 47, this is the crescendo of the Magid, of the telling of story time, which is the blessing on God as the Redeemer. Then, in the bottom of 47. Then we got to go to page 48, and then we drink our second glass of wine as a toast for the redemption. We say, blessed are you, God who redeems Israel. Okay? We're low on the time. Okay? That ends Kaddish Ruchas Magid. We did the Magid. Then we get to the mitzvot halayla, the mitzvot of the night, okay? So I want to, guys, do that with you so you can know the mechanics, so you guys can be well-versed in that, okay? So, Roxa, we're going to wash your hands, but we already did that. Or wash your hands, heal down for bread, because you're having bread. Matzah is bread. Okay, now, we get to matzah. This is a mitzvah from the Torah to eat matzah.
Can I ask a quick question about hand washing?
Yeah.
So our Seder, and I think this note says the same thing, just my dad will wash it.
Yeah. There's a custom to do that only for the first there's some people that do that, certain communities do that only for the karpas. But in the washing of the hands for the matzah, everybody must wash their hands.
Okay.
Rabbinically.
The first one just has
the first time everybody should wash their hands as well. But if you wanna, there are certain customs that only do that, that are not, for whatever reason, I'm not going into the halakhic details, only the head of the Seder does that. But the second washing, Everybody has to wash, and with a bracha. Because regularly, no different than having a sandwich. We're having a sandwich.
Okay.
We're having a sandwich. Okay. Matzah. Okay? So I want everybody, we have shmura matzah. Everybody take some shmura matzah. Okay? How much shmura matzah do you got to eat?
One question. You say the right?
Yes.
Okay.
How much shmura matzah do you have? How much shmura matzah or regular? I'm going to do the... the amount for either one. Okay, guys, everybody looking here. This is crash course. This is nitty gritty seminar stuff. How much matzah? We call it a kezai. It's an olives amount. How much? How much is matzah? Is it a displacement of an olive? So, in order to eat matzah, How much matzah is considered eating an eating? So the Talmud says a kezayit, the eating of an olive's worth. Okay, so there's a whole discussion on this. Some people say you should have two kezayitim. Okay, just to make a long story short, if you're in a robot, if you got the juice, go for a third of a matzah. If you don't got the juice, you could do a quarter of a matzah. If you really are matzah intolerant, like it messes me totally up, go to a fifth of a matzah, of the hand. For the regular, strive for a half. You can't do a half, do a quarter. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Because remember, it's a lot of air. If you crumble it down, it's not that much, okay?
Per time you eat it or in total?
No, for the each one time you eat it. You're gonna eat how many times you eat matzah on the Seder?
Three
times. Very good. Wow. Matzah, the Hill sandwich, and then the afikomen. We're not going to eat three matzahs tonight. But I want to hear about it now. How do you eat it?
Reclining.
Correct. Let's say if you're going to decline, what do you got to do?
Recline.
You got to do it again.
What?
Eating has to be an act of royalty and redemption. If you don't do it that way, you got to do it again. Mm-hmm. It invalidates the activity. So I'm going to show you. We're going to eat the matzah here. Everybody take some matzah.
I think we should actually have a
state of
the way we did
last time.
When we did the
Jewish spot. Oh, on the floor?
On the floor.
That's highly uncomfortable. Okay, so this is great. Okay, so lean on the table. So you can go like this. If you don't. First of all, by the way, people have cushions. People bring their own pillows for the thing. Also, you can also go like this. Lean on. You got to lean on something. Lean left. You take your third of a matzah, and we're going to make the brachas together. Let's practice, guys. Let's practice. Here we go. You ready for matzah? Take some matzah, guys. We're going to do some matzah action. Matzah action.
Matzah action.
Okay, get some vid on this.
We got to get a little vid.
What?
Okay, I'm videoing. We're going to make sure the
ties
highlighted.
Okay, good. All right. Okay, so we got that. So here we go. We're going to make the bracha together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Next bracha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kidishan mitzvotav v'tzivanu al achilat matzah. Bread of affliction or bread of redemption?
Redemption, baby.
I have so many.
Right now, it's redemption.
A nice front piece.
Which one's so much better?
Shmura.
I used to like it.
Yeah, when I put lots of butter
and jam. All right. Alright, Kadesh, Urchas, Karpas, Yachas, Magid, Raksam, Nosi, Matzah, Maror!
No!
That's right!
Not Maror!
I know you're
going to Maror! Okay, here we go. Now!
No!
Now! We're going to have a little competition action! Competition, you boys and gals.
How many
Okay, you can do now. How much of this stuff is a kazayit? I don't know about. I'd say about 3D babies. Fold it over, squish it up. It's not that much. And then what do you got to do? No, you got to dip it in the charoset. This stuff is good, by the way.
In the charoset?
Yeah. Now, here I want to recommend. If you want, now the horseradish is much more compact. It's basically what fits into a shot glass. It's basically a tablespoon. Who wants to have the real McCoy stuff? Okay?
This is how you digest matzah properly.
Oh, yeah. Strong.
I taste it.
Oh, that is strong.
Okay? So a kazai is oh, you don't have to do the whole kazai, but what's up? Everybody keep it.
That's a lot. That's a big shot glass.
Okay, I don't want to see the word. Who's going to woman up here? Who's going to woman up here? Okay, man up. Okay? So everybody, I gave you the spoons.
We have to eat straight.
Now, what you can do is as follows. Both Mars you can combine together.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
Make a little love package like the Mara. You don't recline for the Mara? Dippage. Dip. No, you should really just dip it and then shake. Dip and shake.
Okay.
No, we're up to sandwich yet. That's next. Coming soon. Don't you worry. So, you got spoons. I'm doing it. Who's gonna do it? I mean, you know, we're gonna. Romaine, pass on romaine. Okay, spoon. I would not, but just when you open the cover, do not put your face near it because it will. This is not messing around.
Have you done this
to this lady?
I do this every year.
Okay.
This is a competition. This is it.
Yeah.
This is a competition. Now, by the way, Brian, since it ain't Pesach, there ain't nothing. By the way, this haroset. The haroset, by the way, this is top line delicious haroset from my seasons.
I thought it was the
either one.
Okay. We're just demonstrating.
Come on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, Anna and I are demonstrating.
All right. No, you don't look like everybody got it. Mara it up, baby, and let's see.
Here we go.
Wait. Well, hold on. We have to say the bracha. Let's see who can man up or woman up, depending on your perspective.
So I can't have it for
you. You can have a little stickle, put a stickle. You can. Okay, don't, please don't. I don't know what's in there. Yeah, no allergic reactions tonight, please. We're nearly done.
I'm improvising.
Okay. All right.
Roll this ready.
Okay. Oh yeah. David Schreds. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now fold her up. This is the real deal. But they specially ground this for us this afternoon. This is a special order.
Lucky you.
If you look on the side of the price, they charge a special order too. Thank you, Caesar.
They're nuts.
Okay, we got a kazayas of the Mara. We're gonna make the bracha. Everybody got? Okay, fold her up. That's it.
It's like a cinnamon test.
That's it. Okay, we got to video this. This is some little dippage, double dippage. Okay.
Wait, in the salt water or?
No, in the haroset. By the way, if you want to mess people up, because part of the thing is to show change in the night, the Rambam only dipped things not in salt water, but only in his Seder, only in the haroset. That was the only thing of dipping. So if you want to do that, say, oh, why are you doing this? Because that's the way that my mommies did it. And this night is different than all the nights. Skadoosh!
What's
the lid? The lid. Put the lid back on. Lid. Put the lid right there. Right there.
No.
So the Rambam didn't use salt water?
Did not use salt water. Just haroset. Okay.
I like asking questions.
All right. Everybody ready?
Yes.
We're going to make the bracha on the Mara. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher kidishanu b'mitosa v'sivanu al achilat maror.
Oh my God, Rabbi!
Wait, no, I'm here. Yes, supposed to.
Have
you guys
never? Oh my God!
Yeah.
That's
your friend.
I give you.
So much for
this.
I think
I'm
back. Oh, I think. All right, I'm going for a second bite.
Your eyes are like serious.
All right.
Ready? Is it clear?
Woo! All right.
I couldn't do a second plate.
All right. Kadesh Urchat Karpat Yachat Magirachta Amoti Matza Maror Korech. Korech Hill Samosh. All right, so you take matza and you take and you make a little sandwich action. So you can put either you can put the maror. More, put some leaves on there, and you put some charoset, dip in, get some more lamar, get some little more action. And this you recline. This you recline.
Okay.
All right.
Woo!
Yeah,
it's
really good. Yeah. Guys, take a healthy amount of the charoset. The charoset is world class. These make amazing. How was it there, Brian? You're supposed to only do dipping, but since it's not Pesach, we can do what we want.
Can we get some more of that horseradish?
Oh, yeah. Bring it on. Oh,
I still smell that.
This is the real deal.
Yeah.
All right, this you have to recline.
Recline.
Tomorrow is bitter, young refined. And we do some dippage, or some people like to put in some, add some in there. What's that? Can you sneak by here? All right, when you're done.
I know.
This is good stuff, Try some of this charoset, delish magish. And we'll refine.
No
bracha. No
bracha. Oh, yeah.
Why are you still eating it?
Don't we
have
to say the love part, or you say it after?
After.
Oh, you say it after.
I made my kippa tick, jump.
Move.
Yeah, jump.
Oh, my God. I like it. I think we should all eat this every day.
I don't know.
Woo!
I did one bite, and that was a lot. Second bite. That was horrible.
I think it's delicious.
You don't put them more.
No. I mixed it all together.
That should be like one of those challenges at a restaurant where you have to sign a waiver, like how many spoonfuls
like
can you take?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's intense. Woo!
Where did the beef come from?
Costco.
Oh, yeah.
Lettuce.
Oh, what?
Gotta get out.
You can buy lettuce, like, anywhere. I know, but that would require me, like,
actually,
that's
like, looks. I'm going to save it up for a real serving.
Okay. Better
get out of here.
Okay, go.
You want to, like, go to Tour Fairway? I wear
all the time. Or cut some lettuce.
We have like a full lettuce island.
No, right?
Like 90 kinds of lettuce.
Yes, we did.
All right.
Not
worse. Yes. All right, keep on going. Kadesh, Karpas, Yachas, Magi, Raksa, Mosi, Matza, Maror, Korech. Shulchan Aruch, the meal. We had it. We're done. All right. We have Barech. What's the next thing after the Shulchan Aruch? What's the next step?
Tafun.
Tafun is what?
The bench.
No, before benching.
Avikoman.
Avikoman. What was the Avikoman initially in the time of the temple?
It was the.
I feel like it has to do with meat.
Meat?
Yeah. The skin of the lamb.
Not the skin. The meat of the lamb. Oh. You had your meal. You had your matzah. You had your matzah. You had the core. You had the festival offering. You had side dishes. And then when you're like nearly full, what they call all sober, like you're like, you know, like when you go to a restaurant, like you're nearly there, you're like, you're not stuffed, got a little space. That's the zone to eat the Korban Pesach. So the part of the Paschal lamb would eat when you're nearly satisfied. It'd be the last thing you would taste, and then they would eat that, They would do birkat hamazon, they bench, they do their, they would drink their third glass of wine, and typically what they would do, they would go up to the houses, they'd go up to the roof, because you have to eat the Korban Pesach in one location. Then afterwards, they would do the second part of their Seder, which is the songs of the Hallel, up on the roof. Imagine you're on the flat roofs of Jerusalem, looking over the temple, you see hundreds of thousands of fellow Jews doing the exact same thing. You have your fourth glass of wine. You're singing the Hallel. You're feeling the love of the Jewish people. You're feeling the love of Hashem. That's a Seder. We don't have that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why do you have to eat the meal? Because the meal in one plate.
Well, not the meal, the Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
That's an excellent question. Short answer.
That's not the meal.
No. You'd have your matzah, you'd have your meat, your festival offering meat, then you'd have your korban meat, and then you have side dishes.
Right.
The korban Pesach had to be defined as one group. That's a very... I want to give that's an excellent question, Gail. That's two Seder dolls for you. I want to think about that. Why they had to be in one place, what they call one chabura in one place. It's a very good question. Let me think about that. Let me email you guys all an answer. I have to think about it. I don't know off the top. Okay. Now, so here we go. So we have the Kaddish, Urchas, Karfas, Yachas. We have the Afikoman. We're not going to eat another. If you want to have more matzah, gazunte. We'll give a moment to, we're going to bench because we actually have to bench because we had plenty of bread and matzah. We'll actually bench. Then we're going to have the Hallel. We're not going to do the Hallel. We're just going to talk about the Hallel. And then I'll get to the last part before we bench and call it a night. Concluding. Do you have to sing the songs at the Chag Gadya?
We do it.
What? So the songs. So the songs at the end. You know what I'm talking about, the songs at the end?
Yeah.
You know, Echa, you know, Shana Haba Be Yerushalayim, and then Adir Hu, and Chag Gadya, Chag Gadya. Do you have to sing those songs?
Yes.
No.
No. These were custom. The custom was developed. Now, let me tell you a personal story. I want to take you back to 1983. I'm like 16 years old. My grandmother from England, my British grandmother. My dad's running the Seder. Those who were in who were senior fellows and were with their parents last summer. No. So my grandmother on my mother's side. So she's British. So she didn't get much of a Jewish education, my grandmother, which was very typical among women in the time of in the 30s, 20s and 30s. But, you know, her mentality was that you sat through the Seder, you soldiered through the Seder. But her favorite part was the songs. So I want to visualize Seattle, Washington, it's 1983. My dad, who's a rabbi, we don't have short Seders, it's about 2:30. 2:30. We're done.
Wow.
We're done. And we get to the thing, and we get to the songs, and well, I think, and then he, from the corner of his eye, he's seen my grandmother's face, with a sense of shock, and disappointment start to crawl across her face that we're not going to sing the songs of the Chag Gadya and the Adir Hu and Echad Hu Miyodea and all the different classic songs. So he quickly reopened the Haggadah and sang the songs. And here's a very important point. The Haggadah has been the central meal, whether you've been observant or not observant, for thousands of years. Every Jew, nearly every Jew, has a Seder. And everybody connects to different parts of the Seder. And that's why there's so many customs. That's why Jonathan mentioned that in Persian families, they will have scallions and they will hit each other to reenact slavery. Every community throughout the world had different customs. And you have to be sensitive about that. So when my father saw that, we sang all those songs in a full-throated way because we knew that for her, she didn't really, shall we say, fully grasp the sophisticated conversations going on, but she was sitting there because her favorite part were the songs. And if she had a Seder without those songs, in her mind, there wasn't a Seder. Now in reality, halakhically, that's not accurate. But for her emotionally, it's very important. So the custom, why did the custom of singing songs, because not everybody's a scholar. So these songs take different motifs and themes of the Seder and put them to song. because everybody can enjoy a song. And that's why everybody to this day, they like singing the song. So you sing the songs, depending on the people. Okay, so we're going to now bench.
Right,
and
so can we sing a song?
And, we're, and, we're, and of course, I don't want to cheat you guys. We're going to sing songs with my grandma. Okay, we're going to bench. I just want to remember, just we're going to bench. We're not going to drink the third and fourth cup, unless you want to. But I think, hope I'll give you some ideas to take on your journey to the Seder, where you are. And know your audience and come prepared. Those basically can shrink it down
just
to two things.
Really quick.
Yes, anything you want.
To make sure we cover everything in case some things get skipped in our Seder.
Yeah.
Page 31.
Well, for instance, we were initially slaves. We were initially idolaters. That is page
27.
Yeah.
Oh, the idolaters.
Yeah, go from that point and then to there to all to the end of till matzah.
Okay.
And by the way, if your family members are like not into it, you don't have to like lift, stand up, and open up the Haggadah and make a grand declaration. You can do it yourself. And everybody's digging into their, you know, their matzo ball soup and their brisket and their Pesach treats. Good. You could, if you have another person, or you could just see it yourself. You could have a seat. By the way, it happens in life. You could have a Seder for one. It's sad, but you'd read the whole Haggadah. Okay? So if your family's not into it, okay. Try to engage them to the extent that they want to be engaged. And if they don't, you can do it yourself. And while they're enjoying the matzo ball soup and the brisket and having the same fights they had last year and the year before that, you can just excuse yourself and just do your own Haggadah yourself. And by the way, very important, do it in English. You got to know what you're talking about. Nothing wrong. There's no difference. There's no superiority in doing it in Hebrew. If you say in Hebrew, you don't know what you're talking about. It's about getting to a sense of feeling and gratitude. You're not going to feel that if you're reading Chinese. Go to English. Okay, we're going to bench. I'm going to bench. We're going to respond. So let's turn to page 54. Let's sing together. Okay, Rabbi Sayin Barach. Yehi Hashem Nei Rabbi Talam. Bereshus Kumos Tum Kan Devarach. She'achalnu Meishalom. Baruch Hamish Lo Tuvach Hayinu. Baruch Atah Adonai. Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Hazan Es Haolam Kulo B'tuva Bechein Bechesed Rachamim. Who knows saying lechem lechavasar ki le'alam chastam uptuvah gadol tami lechasel anu ve'ayichsel anu ma'azon le'alam v'bavur shemo agadol he wails on parnes l'ako u'mechi v'ako u'mechi ma'azon le'acho b'riyazal v'asher v'ara v'aracha torna Azar Nesakol, no de la ho, Arnoy Eloenu, Alshin Khat, the Lavo Seinu, Eroth Kem, the Tober Chavavavial, Shosi San of my Merit Raim, Uvi San of Esavarim, the Albrit Hashekhatan of Esarenu, Velter Hashi Matanu, Velkash Shantanu, Velkhaim Himakas of Shantanu, Velkhamazan Shatazan, whom of Varnes, Sosanu, Tami Bohoyam, Loho, Lato, Hosham, Viala Kolon. Umevarchim osach yisparach shichab v'chay tami le'alam v'ay kakasa v'echata v'savata v'erachta sedam na'i lo'echa v'arat ha'tel asher n'talach baruch ator na'al ha'aret v'almazam rachim no adonai eloheinu v'yisrael mecha v'yishlim yirecha v'yatziyan mishkan kevarecha v'al malchut v'yitam shichecha v'ala b'yitol v'gadosh Shenik Roshim Chalav Eloheinu Avinu Reinu Zunu Hagaleinu Arichinu Bravach Lanu Adonai Meir Mekos Roseinu Vena Ata Trichinu Adonai Eloheinu Lore Matna Pasta Varam Velo Lide Alvazam Kim Leodacha Amalei Atsu Chakadosha Ve'acha Vosh Shalnei Vosh Nekarleim Le'olam Va'ed Uvene Yerushalayim Mirakad Mera Beyamenu Baruch Atah Adonai Bonei Barachim Yerushalayim Amen Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Hoelavinu, Malkenu, Adirenu, Bahrain, Koalenu, Yasrenu, Kirishinu, Kedel, Shakov, Roenu, Israel, Amelchatuto, Shevechol, Yom, Bayam, Nu, Eitivu, Meitivu, Yetivanu, Hugamlanu, Ungamlenu, Imalenu, Laat, Lechenu, Chaseru, Rachamim, Urevachat Salavasacha Bracha, Avishua Nechama Parnasa Vecha Alkala, Verachamim Vechaim Veshalom Chatov, Umiikatu Velamechas Reinim. Harachamani come away, Harachamani come away, Harachamani come away, Harachamani Yishtab Aladadari, Beyitad Arbanu La Arlanetza Netzachim, Beyisad Arbanu La Arlomei Olamim. Vivaselanu, Besaros Tavas, Yeshua Fenechamav. Nar hayiti gam zakanti velo raiti tzadik nezav velo raiti tzadik nezav zara mevakesh lachem Adonai ozli amo yitein Adonai yivareh It's a movie of a shalom. Then a lie, 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 da 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 da. At this point, we read the, we have the third cup. Then we do the fourth, we do the hallel, we pour the fourth cup. We do the hallel. We're not going to do the whole hallel. Then at the end of the hallel, we drink the fourth cup. And then the Seder is over, but not over because we've got to sing the song. We'll do one song. Let's do, what's your favorite, song, guys?
Ooh, grandma's favorite song.
I think her favorite was, well, first of all, let's do page 78. Lashana haba. Hold on, we'll get into this guitar situation. Lashana haba, Yerushalayim, Lashana haba, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Lashana haba. Yerushalayim, Lashana Abba, 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 Yerushalayim, Lashana, Lashana Abba, Abba, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Hallelujah. All right, then we get to, we'll do one song, Chagadiah. Turn the page, last, end of the whole thing. The page? Page 90, all right. Chagadiah, Chagadiah. Zabin ape betrays us a chagga, ja, chagga, ja. Hey, asa shun rabbi achla laga, ja. Zabin ape betrays us a chagga, ja, chagga, ja. We're not going to do all 12 stanzas. Okay. All right. That basically is a synopsis of the Seder. Covered all the action. And next year in Jerusalem. Actually, this summer in Jerusalem for those who are in the fellowship. All right. Skidoosh. Okay. That's basically it. Questions? Comments? Okay, we have to go for the end of the Seder group pictures. Let me get Vinny to help us out here, and we are going to... Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. The best part of the job is I can keep this job.
Yeah.
I like the rebel husband in the email. It's like, don't worry, he's still going to Israel.
That's it. Vinny! Yeah. Hey, Joshua, come on in. This is my friend Josh, by the way.
Hi.
Hey, Josh.
Pull up a stool. This is the fellows and the senior. We're just finishing up. We're gonna have a group picture. Josh, do me a favor. You want to take the picture?
Sure.
Okay. So take the picture. We're gonna, guys, gather on the front. We're gonna all gather a matzah. Gather. Take a plate. Take a prop.
I'm gonna take this.
Put a picture. Put it here for Josh.
Take a prop, it could be a matzah, it could be a marker, take a plate, take a bottle, whatever, take a plate, everybody take a prop, okay? Alright, one, two, three, smile. I don't know, it's not taking for some reason.
Is there
a
film in it?
No. Oh, there it is.
What do you see?
Yes, sometimes, yeah.
It took something, I don't know.
I see that you're
being close with, like, the cameras. Oh, 3 seconds. Oh, maybe. Hold on, technical difficulties here. 1 second. Let me just.